Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little bit of something-something in the game. But regardless of why you play, you need a platform that makes it easy. At mybookie.ag, they do just that. Bet MLB regular season, NBA player props, every other major event, like the highly anticipated boxing match between MMA veteran Ben Askren and YouTuber Jake Paul. Place a single wager of $20 on the fight, and you'll get a free $20 bet for UFC 261. If that's not enticing enough, back the former Olympian's corner, and you'll get a 2-to-1 payout with MyBookie odds boost on Ben Askren to win the fight outright. Sign up this week with promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and take advantage of up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code ZABE to grab yourself a free cash bonus on top of the free bets and boosted odds. Ben Askren and Jake Paul, it's the fight that nobody asked for, but everyone can't stop talking about, and you don't want to miss out on it at MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/zabe today. Today on the ZabeCast, the Masters has finally arrived, a bona fide springtime spectacle of hope and renewal. And I've got John Ronis and Ron Thomas to help sort out some of the famous nines in Masters history, my lists of nine, including the best moments, biggest tragedies, and oh yeah, nine holes I would change. All that plus a giant lizard, corporate rats jumping off the Deshaun Watson ship, and more. Your 45-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up, man. Let's go. Here we go. Thursday, April 8, 2021. Thank you for downloading. If you hate golf, you should just hit pause, delete, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Because I'm going to be talking Masters today, tomorrow, Saturday on JFK, Monday on the ZabeCast. It's going to be lots of golf. This is the time of year I will gladly indulge in my favorite sport to play. Not necessarily to watch. I'd say football is my number one watching sport. But golf is great. It's a game I love. And I love for anyone who is getting into golf and who's interested, intrigued by it. And they're like, you know what? I want to try it. See what it's all about. It's not for everybody, mind you. But it's something that I'm passionate about. So you're going to get it for the next couple days, good and hard. But I'm going to give you some other non-golf stuff first, and then you'll be excused early if you absolutely hate golf. A lot of you tell me, you know, Zabe, I'm not that into golf, but you make it, you're so passionate and you're so wonky about it that when you have your golf nerds on, I actually find myself listening to it, learning some things, and finding it very interesting. And I say, thank you. That is the greatest compliment I could get as a spoken word practitioner. All right, where do we begin? The rats are jumping off the good ship Deshaun Watson. Corporations come and corporations go. All it took was a couple of women actually putting their face and voice and names out there saying, here's what Deshaun Watson did that made Nike and Reliant Energy and now Beats by Dre all back out of the Deshaun Watson business. Now, they could get right back in once this stuff blows over or gets resolved. Who knows how deep it'll go? My sense is he's an idiot. He's not a monster, but he's an idiot. And he was using Instagram to basically make a run at women, hot women, with the guise of a massage being cheaper than a dinner. So in other words, these are masseuses as much as I am a professional photographer. Not really. I can do it. I have some equipment. I can take a decent photo, but I'm not a pro. These are not pro masseuses. Yes, they're women who know how to rub your back. And so instead of hooking up and you know, IG, Insta mess, slipping in the DMs, as the kids say, of these IG thirsty girls, and then taking them to dinner, having a few drinks, and then if it's going well, see if they can't have some sex afterwards. Instead, what Deshaun Watson was doing was, hey, how about you come over for a massage? And then the massage got a little bit weird. And then he's like, well, is she going along with it or not? And he was doing this over and over and over and over again. I mean, you don't need 28 masseuses. In fact, he's got 22, I think, that are actually suing him. So there's got to be twice that many who are like either, nah, didn't get that weird, or actually kind of liked him and wished that he'd call me back, but he didn't. So you don't need 40-plus different masseuses if you're a professional athlete. Hell, if you were really trying to get work done on your body, you'd have to keep explaining to each one. Okay, so I've the deltoid here is a little stiff. I like you to work it here. And no, over here, gets tiresome. You want a couple body mechanics who know what you're doing. Now the NFL is going to have to think long and hard about how they're going to handle this and what they're going to do. And for that, I say, Roger Goodell, call your office.
I am definitely, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's one that does not align with our corporate values, and I'm...
Man, Goodell's got a bit of a hoarse voice, doesn't he? Max Scherzer is speaking out. Why no fans, or why not more fans allowed at Nats Park? Great question. He pitched the other night, pitched his ass off. That's what he does. There was 5,000 people in there rattling around like BBs in a trash can. And that's all they got. Thanks to the science of Mayor Muriel Bowser, who is in charge of deciding how many people get to go where and do what 14 months into a pandemic. Nice. Meanwhile, Ted Leonsis, owner of the Capitals and the National and the Capitals and the Wizards, has resigned himself to not having any fans in the stands at MCI at Capital One for the rest of the regular season for both teams. He's hoping the playoffs are possible with the Capitals. They got nobody inside. And you would think billionaire titans of industry, a guy in Ted who should have a lot of sway in the district. His teams bring a lot of money downtown. You would think a guy who's brought a championship to the city would have more sway to go, hey, can you give us more fans? When every other building in the NBA, save for the Canadian ones, is allowing people in? No, So I just have to laugh. Good job, Ted. You really got your influence there with your local leaders. This tweet from one Rachel Hoppmeyer. Rachel Hoppmeyer, NBC 26 sports reporter. I don't know where that is. Says the following on Twitter. They say women don't belong in sports, and yet today I listen to an all-male radio show force a conversation about the attractiveness of a quarterback's fiance. Well, wait a minute. I would assume that would be Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley. And I got to tell you something. First of all, who is they say? That is the biggest straw man I ever heard. They say women shouldn't be in sports. Really? Point me to one person who's actually said that aloud in the last 10 years. This is partly why women in sports talk radio have a hard time fitting in. It is a guy's club. It can be a bit politically incorrect. And guys like to talk about what guys talk about. And guys like to listen to other guys talk about what guys talk about. And it's not always PC. And believe me, a lot of guys I know are looking at Shailene Woodley going, I know she was in those Divergent movies and she was kind of cute and all, but look at her. That Aaron Rodgers is going to marry that? I know she could be a wonderful woman and his soulmate, but I don't know. I don't see it. Every guy has those conversations. If you don't like it, don't tune in. But nobody is saying, Rachel, that women shouldn't be in sports. If you want to be in sports talk radio, which is largely a male domain, you got to hang with the fellas. You got to be cool like Carol Maloney, who would have no problem. In fact, I'm going to bring this up with Carol next Tuesday. And that is, what do you think of Rodgers and Shailene Woodley? Do you think that's a good fit in terms of power, prestige, attractiveness, whatever? You know, forget the fact that he's in love. Just assess it from afar. Like, does that make sense to you? I guarantee you Carol will play along and have no problems. EA Sports announced they will have Augusta National and the Masters as part of the PGA Tour video game on their platform consoles. Well, hallelujah. About damn time. Augusta and the Masters had been conspicuously left out as the one place that you just couldn't play in the video game. Now it's in the game. Just in time for me to buy the new version of the game, leave it in the cellophane, not play it for 2 years, and then say, oh, better go to GameStop and see if they'll give me some money back for it. This is funny, except it's not funny. The CDC is the be-all, end-all about what's safe, what's not safe, what the best practices are, etc. But they make a ton of mistakes, and they contradict themselves all the time. But whenever the CDC says something, entities, school districts, businesses, the media, they take it as gospel and they run with it. Okay. So what happens then when the CDC says, you know what? We're backing off this recommendation. We don't need to do this anymore. By the way, they recommended a month ago to get rid of physical barriers, i.e. the useless plexiglass. Month ago, that was in their official recommendations. Did you see the plexiglass at the Final Four separating Jim Nance from Bill Raftery at nipple level? Of course you did. So did I. And now there's this. The CDC recommended they change their 6-foot distancing recommendation in schools to 3 feet because you can't run a school at 6 feet separation for the most part. Well, guess who's not yet comfortable with it? Governor Cuomo and the state of New York. Said Cuomo about not changing their 6-foot rule in New York, despite the CDC, quote, it's not as simple as you suggest. Many superintendents don't like it. Many teachers don't like it. The reason it's taking time is because it's very controversial. Oh, so I get it. So when the CDC says something, it's gospel in the way you want it to go. And then they say something in the other direction, and you go, well, I don't like it. I'm not comfortable. It's going to take forever to get back to true normal. CBS is digging in on its incredibly ham-handed hack job of a piece on Ron DeSantis on last Sunday's 60 Minutes, in which they tried to make it look like he was taking, you know, campaign contributions just to give vaccines to Publix, the number one supermarket chain in the Sunshine State. Of course, that was not the case. His answer was lengthy and detailed and debunked it, bing, ba, bing, ba, bing, and they just cut all that out and they crafted something that looked like it made DeSantis look like a bad guy. Hell, even Democrats are defending the Republican in Florida, and that's pretty rare. That's how you know CBS fucked up. Do you think CBS has said, you know what? We reviewed the piece. We could have done better. No, of course not. They're digging in further, issuing statements, standing by the reporting, including this. They said they presented the governor's office with questions, including this one, a written question which said, how did the state determine that seniors were at greater risk to the coronavirus than other groups? Because, you know, DeSantis said, hey, we're going to vaccinate seniors first. How did they determine they were at greater risk? Look at the fucking fatality distribution, you dummies. To think that 60 Minutes, once the gold standard of journalism, would actually ask that question. Really? How'd you know seniors were at greater risk? Read the fucking numbers, you numbnuts. But yeah, you're never going to get them to admit a mistake. No chance. The Wooft has hired their first Latina executive. She is programs coordinator, Natalie Durantes. That is the first ever football programs coordinator hired by the Washington football team. What is a football program? I don't know. It's like, sounds like a college thing. The football program. How's the football program doing? Are they on track to get a bunch of recruits? No. I guess these are other programs involving football-related things in the community, whatever. They are collecting an all-star cast, the Wooft, when it comes to all the boxes and the check marks for the diversity that the NFL wants to see. They've got a Hispanic head coach. They got a black general manager. They got a white female head of the broadcast division. They have a black female assistant coach. Now they have a Latina programs coordinator, whatever that means. Mazel, mazel. Good things. And then there's this. Stephen A. Smith apparently saw a list he did not like when it came to the NBA. And I wonder if they went to break so awkwardly quickly after he said this because he didn't like what they were seeing. And maybe they were like, okay, rap, let's get out of this.
Love LaMelo Ball. But see, this is stuff like this that diminishes the credibility of ESPN.
Oh, no, he didn't. The list is best under 25 in the NBA. Luka Doncic, 1. Zion Williamson, 2. LaMelo Ball, 3. Donovan Mitchell, 4.
Okay, this is the list. This is our list, right? Am I correct about this? I believe it's our list. Yes, it is. Let me tell you something right
now. Yes, ESPN.com.
What the hell? I mean, ESPN needs to drug test anybody that has something to do with this list. Makes no sense. Devin Booker is not LaMelo Ball before Devin Booker? Really? LaMelo Ball?
They're playing the music like, quick. Wrap this thing. They just got into the list, so you know they weren't due to go to a break.
Before Donovan Mitchell? Really? LaMelo Ball before Jason Tatum? Really? I mean, what the hell is going on? Okay? I believe that ESPN...
That's when they realized he wasn't going to rap. They just... They're like, all right, shit, we tried to bump him out with music. That didn't work.
You should call security right now and go to whoever put this list together on ESPN.com. Summon all, line them up. Line them up and test every one of them. Every one of them. Somebody's out of it. Somebody's out of it.
That's some strong opinions there about one player being two spots too low. According to Stephen A. Smith, the human air raid siren on a made-up category. Best 25 players under 25 in the NBA. Boy, it's a wonder I don't watch afternoon ESPN anymore. What a shock. All right, let's talk some golf. I got Johnny Ronis in the Mobile Strike studio right before his garage band practice. He's a grown-ass man. He's in a garage band, though. And I got Ron Thomas on the phone. And, of course, we talked Masters. All right, boys, the Masters is here. And it is glorious with an asterisk. I'm going to start by saying something which may make you guys not so happy, but maybe you get where I'm coming from. Until the Masters is fully the Masters again, I walk up to this thing with a bit of trepidation, a bit of disappointment. To me, the Masters is about being bold, unapologetic, and unique. And without the par 3 contest today, it felt a little bit less than all of that. The Masters, I had always hoped, was going to help lead us out of this governmental over-response to the pandemic. And they have let me down now twice. They're going to have the tournament starting tomorrow, Thursday. They're going to have some patrons. They could have easily done that with the par 3. We know kids are not at risk of this virus whatsoever. We know the old people that would be there are going to be vaccinated. Nicklaus already had it. Gary Player would beat the virus naked, 7-6.
He'd kick it.
He'd kick it right yeah, in the face, right. Okay? But you know that there'd be no reason they couldn't have it. But they chose for some reason not to. And that's a disappointment to me. So I'm just going to have to deal with that as we head towards the actual tournament.
Well, can I say something?
Please.
Of course.
The par 3 event for me not only kicks off the Masters in proper form, but think about all of the memories that are created.
Yes.
Including Jack Nicklaus's grandson making an ace. All of the hole-in-ones that occur. And the little ones, the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
In their coveralls. And
the fact
seeing
it brings
the old guys together. It is so right. special. And it outweighs anything that they could throw at us when it comes to the virus.
Yeah, I agree. And it brings three generations or more together, from the littlest of tykes in their white jumpsuits to the old masters of the game who have at least enough strength at 80 years old to hit a wedge and to have fun.
And it humanizes
it
them
does.
As icons yeah. to be watching them, the joy that they're having yeah. with their children.
So
humanizes them.
Hopefully next year, you know, and don't say, oh, well, I'm sure next year.
No,
was sure last year that this year would have been a full go. It's not. Okay, on to the tournament itself. We're going to play a game called, I'm going to play some nine holes with you guys. I've created lists of nines, all right? And you can weigh in, you can contest what I have here, you can make your own additions, subtractions. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
Okay. Nine greatest moments in Masters history. Moment. Not shot. But moment, and there's a caveat to this. Number nine, Bubba Watson's hook shot around the trees on 10 in overtime to win. Number eight, Ben Crenshaw winning after Harvey Penick's funeral that week. Number seven, the final ceremonial opening tee shot with Arnie and Jack. Number six, the Larry Mize chip-in. Local boy done good, visor flying, suplexing in the air, amazing moment. Number five, Adam Scott sinks not just a putt to send it to overtime on 18, but the winner in the near dark on 11, in the rain. Number five, Jack Nicklaus's yes, sir, on 17. Did I say five? I meant four.
Four.
Mm-hmm. Number three, Phil Mickelson wins and hugs his wife while she's battling cancer. Number two, Tiger's chip-in on 16.
Interesting, Zabe.
With Vern Lundquist saying, in your life!
Well, this
the
is
number
very
one,
interesting.
The number one moment in Masters history came the last time we had the full proper tournament 2 years ago, Tiger Woods, in the comeback win nobody thought could happen when the crowd chanted, Tiger! Tiger, Tiger.
Yeah. And his son and his daughter.
Yes.
there to see that for the first time.
Nobody mm-hmm. ever chanted Woozy, Woozy,
we didn't
or
hear
Ali,
it.
Ali,
yeah.
or Bernhard. Nothing. VJ, V, no. nobody. They don't chant at Augusta National.
Right.
So your thoughts on that list, and have I missed any great moments? Now, you might say, what about Sarazen's double eagle? Well, that's a great shot. Nobody saw
right.
it.
Right, right.
Okay.
One of the moments that sticks in my mind from my whole life was Jack hugging his son after he walked off the green
yeah.
in 1986.
Yeah. yeah.
That was...
That's a good one
that's
right
a,
there.
That's a moment.
And after...
Go ahead, Ronnie.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say the shot on 16 when he yeah. said, be good,
that's
and he said,
I was just
going to
say.
Yeah. yeah. you know, and those are the... I have a soft spot for Nicholas because he was my player growing up. I
oh,
always
yeah.
wanted to be like Jack.
Yeah.
But that hug, you know, that was the first time that I saw that kind of thing, and it was very cool.
Yeah. Ronnie, your thoughts on the
yeah,
top
no,
moments?
It's a great list. You hit them all. For yeah. me, always some of the best moments and the ones that stand out the most are when players are playing their final Masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, Nicholas playing, walking up 18 with a tear in his eye and him saying, you know, all right, you got to settle down. You got to hit this shot. And I think he made birdie, if I'm correct. He either made birdie then or he made birdie at in the final round of the what I call the British Open. But also a moment, I thought it was really neat when the 14-year-old kid, I cannot remember his name, made the cut.
Right.
Do you remember
Jin
him?
Ying Lang, mix him up with an NBA player.
He made the cut, though. Just incredible. Yeah. I also love the story about Jeff Knox, the amateur, getting to play. Again, these are things.
These yeah. are the, I like yeah. that,
I like,
though. Yeah,
I like the Fantastica.
Foxy Knoxie, who gets to, yeah, Fantastica from Seve Ballesteros in 85.
Yeah. Yeah,
hitting
great.
A 2-iron into 15.
Yeah, Fantastica.
Or 13, right. actually. Ting Lang Wan made the cut 14
at
as a 2013.
14. And just remarkable.
Didn't Absolutely. They also hit him with a slow play penalty?
I think they put him on the clock. I'm not sure if he got hit. Maybe he did.
I think he did.
It's unbelievable.
Fucking outrage right
it's unbelievable.
There. Of all the guys to right. get hit with a slow play
right. yeah.
penalty there.
Kid is probably changing his diaper.
And one more. I thought it was neat when Kuchar, although his father was rather annoying, but Kuchar as an amateur, that was pretty special. Just the shit-eating
grin. Dad waving the flag like he's the starter at Indianapolis.
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Good like, reference. Okay. And there was one more. Was it the fuzzy Norman towel wave at Augusta?
Nope.
Was that
no.
the Open?
Playoff in the Open.
Yeah,
but fuzzy winning being an
the
Indiana
US
boy.
Open. Right. Oak Hill, Oakmont.
Oak Hill. I want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, one of those
but,
two.
But
all right.
Fuzzy nine. Winning that thing, I enjoyed a lot. That was
nine
throwing a putter up in the air.
Nine biggest tragedies in Masters history.
Hmm.
Number nine will be controversial, and maybe it's not a tragedy, but. The fact that Johnny Miller never got to announce it.
That's fair enough. Mm. Fair enough.
Number eight, Spieth goes swimming at number 12 twice.
Yeah.
While nursing a big lead, 3-shot lead, I think. It just fell apart.
Yeah.
Shockingly, he just rushed. He got completely out of sorts. The most methodical, talk to Greller, talk again to Greller yeah. kind of guy. He just rushed through it.
Yeah.
Threw the tournament away at 12. Number seven, Kenny Perry blows a 2-shot lead on the last two holes. 48-year-old, nice Kentucky yeah. boy, about to win the Masters, biggest of his career, skins a chip on 17, bogeys 18, loses the Masters.
Yep.
Seven, biggest tragedies, Ernie Els' 7-putt on number one.
Right.
Which was, I think, 10 years ago today.
Came back and played well.
I forgot about that.
That was full-blown yips at that point.
Full-blown yips.
Yeah.
Number five, biggest tragedies. Scott Hoke's missed 3-footer on 10 in the playoff.
Yep.
Now, you might say, wow, that's a bigger tragedy. Nobody cared about Scott Hoke.
No,
that's
that
why it's not a big tragedy.
Tragedy.
Number four, Curtis Strange going swimming on 13 while he was on his way to possibly winning a Masters to go along with his U.S. Opens.
Can't even remember it.
Nobody cares about Curtis yeah, Strange.
Right.
Number three, biggest tragedy, Rory McIlroy's snipe hook behind the Butler cabin en route to an 80 when he was lapping the field through three rounds.
Yep. That is so far offline, it's remarkable.
You can't hit it there.
Yeah.
But he did. Number two, biggest tragedy. Norman's Sunday collapse against Faldo.
How about the shot on 18? The blocked four iron on 18 that was 40 yards right of the green.
That was when Nicholas won.
That was in 86, but yes, that's another choke.
Yep.
Now, you are aptly saying, how is Norman's collapse not number one? I'll tell you the biggest tragedy in Masters history. Forgotten to history by some, but not by me, Roberto DiVincenzo signing the wrong scorecard for a higher score than he actually recorded and than he actually earned, but that's the final ruling, and he missed a playoff because of it.
Yeah,
I think he said
Bob
afterwards in his broken English, "What a stupid I am."
Yeah,
that's right.
That's great.
All right, any tragedies I'm missing in there?
I would put Molinari from the Tiger win. Dunking that tree, hitting the tree on 13 or 15, and it going in the water.
I tried to get 9 certified miracles that happened at Augusta, and one of the miracles would have been Ian Poulter, Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka, and Molinari all going swimming on 12 when Tiger Woods was chasing to let him zoom past. Four guys.
Yeah, that was divine intervention.
That's crazy.
There's no question.
And Molinari hit a pine cone on 15 on his wedge.
Right.
Which sent him into the water.
Dropped it straight down.
Yeah. Okay. Top 9 holes I would change.
Oh.
At
sacrilege.
I know.
Oh,
it's sacrilege, and you haven't even heard my ideas yet.
I want to get out of the studio right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to get the chance to play.
Wait till you hear some of these ideas.
Here we go.
Here we go. Get the bulldozers going. Yeah. You ready?
And I have never been there, just so you know.
I don't know them that well.
Okay, so I know from nine on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, I know every hole there. I'm sure that that this will be on video somewhere. But Zabe is so perfectly decked out right now in his Masters green. So he's a proud patron.
Pine Valley vest, Masters hat.
Yeah, and now he will be a proud architect. Please, Mr. Zabin, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Number 9. Remove that giant bunker on 10, 70 yards before the green. You know, the big old octopus bunker? Nobody's ever in it.
No. No.
And you might say, but, oh, it's decorative. I don't believe in decorative. If a bunker's there, it should have a reason. Take it out.
Okay.
Make it middlemost. Number 8. Lower the fairway on 5 because it's too much of a high hump. It's an ugly hole. It's a beast of a hole. Lower that fairway so it makes more sense. It kind of sits more in the cut on the exterior perimeter of.
So it'd be a little bit more even with 6T up there.
Yeah, it's not such a grind of a hole. Okay. Number 7, as I count down the 9 holes I would change at Augusta. Number 1 green, flatten the slopes on that thing. Way too severe. Number 1.
Okay, you're wrong.
Okay. Number 6?
Yeah, 6.
Yep.
Number 6. On number 11, I would raise the back left of the green to better accept flag hunting in that part of the green. And then I would put a pocket bunker on the inside curve of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you put a pocket bunker inside the curve to catch shots that are short
left.
Sort of like the pocket bunker on 12.
Okay.
That would encourage using the back part of 11 more and encourage flag hunting from deep ranges, 170, 180, 190.
505 yards, I believe that hole is.
You wouldn't have to make it as long if you did that to the green.
Yeah.
Number 5, things I'd change at Augusta National. Make all the front banks at number 13 as treacherous as number 12.
Why? Are they grown up a little bit?
You can't really fall off the earth on 13 with a gust of wind like you can at 15 and at 12. Okay. 13, there's, I think, a little bit of a collar. You don't fall off of the front of that green. It's not nearly as treacherous.
Okay.
So I would make sure to redesign it so it really... It's an ice rink into the creek.
Okay.
What am I on now?
Let's go with 3.
Number 5.
No, that was 5 at least.
4.
I'm down to number 4. Number four is number four. That par three is stupid.
Brutal.
Start over. It's too long. You can't birdie it. Can't land it on the green over the bunker to the right. It's just, it's dumb. It's 235 from the back.
Okay.
Now I've got three more changes to make. Ready?
235 is a four iron for these guys. You know that.
I know it is, but it's still 235, though. Okay. Number three, make number eight, put another tee way behind the seventh green to stretch it out to 620, and it'd be a true three-shot par five. No way you can get home on number eight.
Is that the uphill swinging
left? Yes.
Okay, where Tiger hits the big rope hooks.
Yep. Absolutely never, ever, ever touch that hole.
Okay, well, there's room. I checked the overhead map. There's room behind for another monster tee.
Oh, there's plenty of room.
Yeah, behind seven. Yep. And I'm saying the course doesn't have a true three-shot hole.
Yeah.
So I would make that one there. Now, I've got two more changes to make here. Wow, sir, you have already ruined enough of this golf course.
Yeah.
Because I went a little bit went out of order here. Let me make sure I got this here. Number five, lower fairway, 18.
You haven't said 18 yet.
I'm getting to 18.
Okay.
I think I'm on the last change.
Yeah, you are.
The last change is install grandstands or build up the natural amphitheater on 18.
Interesting.
What makes you put this list together?
He's just insane.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I mean, are you just think that it could be even better than perfect?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, there's a little bit of insanity.
Why not?
Let's just deal with my change on 18. Would you not agree that it's dumb to have a fall off to the left side where people are on their tiptoes trying to see what's going on?
Yeah.
They've got all that room. They use iron, as they say in the business, on 12 and 13. There's grandstands on the property. There's limited grandstands on 15,
on
14.
I think over to the left of 18, there's a grandstand for 9.
No.
Oh, there's not?
I don't think there is, no.
Okay.
Why no grandstands on 18? Okay, you don't want the iron on 18. Fine. Make it a big natural amphitheater. You can do that. Build it up. I'd take the dirt from 5, where I lower the fairway, bring that up to 18, and we'd be good to go.
Is it possibly that you won't be able to see the clubhouse?
Yeah, Vista. I'm sure that's
a grandstand, then you'll see a
vista.
Clubhouse.
Why, sir, you can see the clubhouse when you're enjoying your mint julep afterwards on the veranda.
Well, Zabe, to me,
what do you think?
I think it's perfect, actually, and I would start to draft the letter.
Is there any change you would make, you guys? Is there anything you'd tweak with?
Any
one little thing you're I don't know about this.
I have a tweak. I think they should allow the Maryland State Senior Open winner to play in the Masters.
Did you win that?
No, but I finished tied for second. But
okay. When?
But I'll win it this year.
Congratulations. Last year. Okay, beautiful.
Put you on the board.
Beautiful. All right.
Low amateur.
All right. Next nine holes. Ready? Top nine Masters misunderstandings. Misconceptions. Ready? Number nine, that the course is open almost all year round.
Correct.
A lot of people don't know.
It's closed during the summer.
It's open for a couple weeks in May and a couple weeks in October. That's it. Number eight, Masters misunderstandings, that everything outside the gates is also lovely, just like inside the gates.
No.
No.
No, no, no.
It's a Mojangles.
Ronnie, it is like Laurel, Maryland.
It's like Laurel. Exactly. Laurel with magnolia trees.
Right.
Steve, you know you're going to get a message from someone who says that it's open more than a couple of weeks in May and
it's
a couple of weeks
winter.
In October. Yeah, it's open
it's
through
open.
The winter.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see about that. Yeah. I had heard it was not open for very many weeks a year at all.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not open during the summer, but it's open during the winter.
All winter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then that's my misconception.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Number seven, Masters misunderstandings, that Lee Trevino didn't feel welcome there because he was Mexican-American.
Oh, jeez.
I think he didn't feel welcome there because he couldn't hit a ball more than 40 feet in the air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He played fades and he played low, and so he never had success.
If he won it, he'd feel very welcome.
Not a good long iron player and high ball hitter.
Number six, the Masters theme song actually has words. Did you know this?
No. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Dave Loggins.
Yeah.
Well, it's springtime.
No! Oh, my God. Listen to the words.
It's the August National and the Master.
Tell me that guy didn't love John Denver.
Yeah. Zay, please tell me what you're going to hear later on tonight is better than that.
Oh, with your band practicing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Okay, so there you go. Masters.
This guy has an album, and it's on the Sirius XM. He has a commercial on there. Oh. He's got a song about Arnold Palmer. Mr. Palmer. He did awful.
Have you heard the new song they're playing, which is Why Don't We Stay, which is by Danny Cope? You've heard them play this, right? This is like the new alternate promo theme song for the Golf Channel. I'm not sure CBS uses it, but the Golf Channel uses this song, and it's very sweet. It's by Danny Cope, A Perfect Day.
There's nothing in the way.
Azaleas.
There's nothing
green grass.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson DeChambeau hitting his 4.5-degree driver like a maniac.
While VJ's sitting there laughing. Did you see him?
Here. Listen.
There's nothing else to see.
Oh, we didn't get to the hook there. Okay.
So last year they played, and John Prine passed away last year due to COVID, and they prayed, they played, the entry to the first day was I Remember Everything. And it is such a great song, and the montage that they put to it is amazing. And it's just John Prine and his acoustic guitar, and it is, it's just so, it's goosebumps to me.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Masters Misunderstandings, number 4, Gary McCord's banishment for bikini wax comments. Yes, the Masters did say, we don't do that here, and they kicked him off for a year.
Okay.
He actually had a chance to return the next year, but McCord saw it as a marketing hook and said, well, forget them, I'm not coming back. He was the one that said, well, I'm going to take this thing and run with it. I'm the guy that was banned from the Masters for being too colorful. Masters Misunderstandings, number 3. Fuzzy Zeller's comments after Tiger Woods' win in 97. Mm-hmm. Yes, Fuzzy was drunk-ish or had a few beers. Yes, by calling Tiger Woods that little boy was definitely tone-deaf and a clunker. But when he talked about the fried chicken and collard greens, he was talking about the sort of the traditional Masters food that is served down there as just part of regular Southern fare that old white people eat and also black people. But combined with everything else, it came off as very, very bad.
Yeah, it was. Yes. You know what? It was a dumb comment.
All right, number three.
Lost his Kmart sponsorship.
Oh, what a shame. Yeah, I know.
Number two, Masters misunderstandings. Chip Beck getting crap for laying up on 15. Chip Beck right. couldn't have gotten home with his stupid Cobra wooden laminate five-wood, three-wood ginty.
Buckhance ginty?
Not in a million years. Yeah. They're like, hey, it's Sunday. You got to go for it on 15. Have you seen how far I hit it?
Not when you can't.
Not when you can't.
Yeah.
He would have bounced. He would have one-hopped it in the water.
And he knew he was about 6 months from quitting the game.
Yeah, there you go.
Couldn't hit it on the planet.
Number one Masters misunderstanding. Tiger's incorrect drop on 15 when he should have been disqualified, no question about it. Remember?
Yeah.
Hits the flag, ricochets off into the water, goes to take his drop, ends up taking it about a yard or two behind his divot. In the post-game press conference, admits, I wanted to drop it a couple yards back so it wouldn't happen again. That's an incorrect drop. He signed his scorecard. He admitted to an incorrect drop. You need to drop it as near as possible, right, Ronnie? To where you hit it before.
Well, no, you either hit it from the same spot or you can hit it anywhere from where it enters all the way back to where your original shot was
from.
Keeping you and the flag in line from where it entered.
He took an incorrect drop.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but was he not granted that drop by a rules official? He was.
I don't think he was granted that.
I think he asked.
So where it entered and where he dropped wouldn't have been that exact straight line, because what you can do is you can take a drop where the ball entered in line with the pin as far back as you want.
So why then was it a controversy?
Well, because that ball probably ricocheted to the side, so if you took that angle, it probably would have been over here.
Okay.
So then the alternate option is to replace the ball as close to where you just hit the last one and hit it from there.
Steve, you're right. It was not a proper drop.
It was an incorrect drop.
It was.
And once you sign a scorecard for an incorrect drop, there's supposedly no recourse. But the Masters being the Masters and Tiger being Tiger, they bent those rules to go, well, we'll assess him a penalty, but we'll not DQ him. I remember Faldo the next morning on television on the Golf Channel twisted himself in knots trying not to say this is wrong. He actually implored Tiger to do the right thing and withdraw, which Tiger did not.
Yeah. You know, since then, they have put in the rules of intent. So that would have been one of those things where he didn't intend.
But he admitted, because he said, I dropped it a couple yards back so it wouldn't happen. Yeah. So
that is your number one moment.
Well, it's a Masters misunderstanding.
Right.
What other list do you have? Is there another misunderstanding that you have?
I have one.
Okay.
That previous to the membership of Condoleezza Rice and probably a few others, that women were not permitted at Augusta to play golf. That is not true.
They just were not full-time members.
They were not members.
Yeah.
What was that woman's name?
Martha Burke?
Yes. Yeah.
So at any time, a member could bring their wife, or college teams would play at Augusta. Women's college teams would play at Augusta.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And they were very inclusive to the local junior scene. Right. And so there was no male-only. And we have plenty of male-only clubs still out there. But
plenty?
Augusta, yeah. At least 10. Yeah, that's plenty. So that was a misconception.
Yeah. All right. Finally, 9 best Masters strategic developments over the years. Number 9, eliminating the requirement to take a local caddy for the tournament itself.
Good.
I know it added a lot of flair and unique angle, but can you imagine biggest major of the year and you got to go pick a guy out from the shed?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Number 8. The development of a world-class digital app. The Masters digital delivery and the app and the media and the streaming is second to none.
Yeah.
It doesn't fail. It's well-designed. It's elegant, which is what you would expect.
Can I just back up for just 1 second because it's so hilarious? If you watch the documentary Jack, and it goes through all his majors.
With his caddy at Augusta.
He's laying on the ground.
Oh, I know.
He's laying down
with a cigarette.
Yeah. Well, hey, he was tired.
Jumps up and raises his hands
like, my man.
That is great.
They won the Masters. He's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a more casual day and age, I guess.
He probably had a loop in the morning.
He had the diabetes. I got the diabetes. I need to lie down here just a second.
I saw that. I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's great.
Okay. Number seven, best strategic developments. Augusta teaming up with ESPN because they are the worldwide leader, and they showed lots of stuff on Thursday and Friday, including televising the par three contest, which is one of my things. But more importantly, teaming up with ESPN while keeping Chris Berman firmly out for years and years. You know,
and Van Pelt firmly which is beautiful.
Right. You know that he was dying, Berman. Like, oh, what do you say, boss?
Nope, you're not
on the list.
Yep.
Number six, Masters best strategic developments. Hootie Johnson, when he sent the sponsors packing in the Martha Burke controversy. For 2 years, he said, you know what? We don't need your money. This is not your fight. This is between us and an activist, and we're going to take her on and do things on our own timeline. And they said to the sponsors, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yep. Never been done before
great
in the history of modern
too.
Sports. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Number five, the new range and new media center is incredible. Yep. At Augusta. Number four is the televised par three contest. They used to hold this thing. It was never on TV.
Yep.
And I believe that was part of Billy Payne's initiative to say, why don't we get this on TV? Billy Payne's other innovations were great across the board. He really modernized a lot of what they do. The number two thing is the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which I missed all of it, basically. When was it on last weekend? I was busy.
They only played two rounds are played at a different golf course, and they only played the final round on Saturday. And it was very early, and they didn't even air it live until 7 p.m. I'm sorry. They didn't even air it. It was live. No, it was online. Then they aired it, recorded at 7. No. Yeah, tape delay. Yeah.
No wonder why I missed it. Well, that's a shame. And the number one best thing strategically is the drive, chip, and putt.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the only other thing I'd add to that is that when they started showing all 18 holes.
Yes.
Because remember, for years, it was only the back nine.
All right, let's get to this year's tournament. Who do you like? Who don't you like? Thoughts going into it as it begins this morning. Ronnie, you start.
I think Justin Thomas is the guy to beat. I think DeChambeau is right there second. I think DJ's always there. Patrick Reed, you cannot leave out. Spieth is playing well, obviously. It just see how he holds up over time, because you know he hasn't been really solid, but we'll see if he is. Westwood's playing well. That would be an amazing story.
Great story.
Rory is, who knows? You just never know. Justin Rose is always there. John Rahm, amazing story with the, if he were to win with the newborn. You might think that his fire is not going to be there. It's going to be more happiest, but he's Spanish and he's John Rahm, so he's always going to have fire.
Yep.
But you can't help but think that he would, if he were to win, it would be a wonderful story. But to know that he has a child, a new child to go home to, regardless of what happens, that's good for the nerves.
DJ the favorite at 9-1. Now, that number 9-1 is remarkable because I remember the days when Tiger was almost 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, you'd bet Tiger or the field.
Basically,
yeah.
Here's what I do with the favorites, and then I'll throw a couple of longer shots at you, which would be 30-1 or greater. But amongst the favorites, the five or six, I like to play in out.
Yeah.
Meaning guys I'm gonna fade and guys I'm like, no, that guy will be in it. I think when it's all said and done. Right. Dustin Johnson's in, I'd put a shekel on him. I'm fading Spieth, even though everyone loves him.
Right.
Because winning back to back weeks is very hard.
I'll tell you,
he'll be in the top five. I'm pretty convinced of that.
Okay.
But I would fade him to win.
Okay, I will tell you that the only thing I don't like, and DJ figured it out last year, but the only thing I don't like is that Spieth cannot right now turn it over from right to left.
Yeah.
And to win that golf tournament, you got to hit about four shots around,
and
you got to turn it over.
Right.
And he struggled last week.
Right.
Also,
2, 10, 14, and 17. Maybe.
Yeah. And also, you have to take into consideration that only one person, I think, has won when they won the week before.
Yeah. Okay. Justin Thomas is in. For sure, put a shekel. I'm going to fade DeChambeau.
Oh, I would never do that. He can draw
either.
The ball. I think he got.
Why'd he play so poorly in the fall?
Well, I don't think he had the math down, and I think he figured it out. I really do.
Listen,
I believe that was a great learning experience
for
you.
DeChambeau stand now?
I am, and the thing about
God.
It is,
Ronnie, are you hearing this?
Well,
holy cow!
It's something that when you take a look at how he analyzes a golf course, he got the equation wrong. And I think he learned from it. And you see, most of the time, it takes 6, 7, 8 times for these people to start to get to winning at Augusta. You very rarely see someone in there third, fourth time.
So you think he's got a new strategic attack on this course? Is he going to try to cut the trees on 13?
Yeah, I think that he's going to do something different than what he did before.
Okay.
Either that, or maybe he's just flat out better. Don't forget, coming into last year, he's experimenting with the 48-inch driver, right, and I'm using this on the range.
He was also chugging milkshakes 6 times a day.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And a lot of pressure. Zabe, what do you think? Zabe, what do you think of Finau? You think he has a shot?
I think Finau is one of my dark horses because it makes for the best story. The guy who can't close, who has been so close, closes on the biggest stage for his first major win. I would love to see it, and I love him as a long shot at 33-1.
Would be great.
Westwood at 30-1.
Doesn't have
that's
the blade.
Another great story right there.
Finau doesn't have the putter for it, I don't think, to handle 4 days at
Augusta.
Right,
right. Okay.
But
Rahm is out.
Did you say?
DeChambeau.
No, the
European. Lee Westwood.
I believe he's got the game right now to do it.
Well, he's got a lot of good finishes at Augusta as well. I'm saying about Rahm, I think Rahm is out.
Yes.
The kid, you know, you're all messed up with your first kid. Rory at 14-1. I love him to death. He's my favorite player.
Look, he had one bad stretch of holes last Masters, otherwise he would have won.
Yeah.
So let's
that's what he does.
I know, but we
have to
root for Rory.
Oh, I'm rooting like a mofo for him. I love that Irish lad. I know.
Love him.
I know, but I can't bet him. 14-1. Xander Schauffele, 22-1. I'll take a shekel on the X-Man. Patrick Cantlay, great player. I'm not on him. Koepka's got a bad knee at 25-1. He's out. Patrick Reed, 28-1. I mean, I couldn't bet on him. It's blood money. He's a cheater.
Yeah.
But I would cash the ticket. Colin Morikawa, 30-1. What's happened to him? Why did he fall off form after last
year?
Yeah.
Counting his money.
Okay. All right. Westwood, 30. Finau, 33. Daniel Berger, 33-1.
Can't do that.
Ugly.
All right. Before you go any farther, I think that the pick of the tournament, who's not going to be an absolute favorite, is Paul Casey.
40-1.
He's so consistent.
He's
and you might want to go with Fitzpatrick.
He's another potential long shot. How about this for a name? And this would also be historic. It'd be a great angle. There's never been an Asian winner. No Japanese winner, no Korean winner, no Chinese winner. How about Sung J.M.?
Yeah.
35-1.
And he figured it out last year. But
just a doughy-looking guy. You're like, who's this dude? And he's a baller.
Same thing, though. Can't draw the ball.
Okay.
Can't draw the ball.
You want to go deep in the weeds?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to –
You want
Bernhard Langer.
Max Homa at 80-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Justin Rose at 70-1.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Louis Oosthuizen at 66.
Now that
2-1
would be worth a dollar.
Bubba at 50-1. Sergio at 45-1. Jason Day, he still plays? At 45-1.
But he'll probably quit after the first round because he has a bad something.
Matthew Wolff, 90-1. You want Billy Horschel, 80-1? I don't.
Hey, I love Horschel, as you know.
I love Horschel, but he gets too hot.
What's Hovland at?
Hovland is at, he's further down. He's actually one of the more favored guys.
Oh, he is.
Hovland is 33-1.
How about this? Why in heaven's name would Trevor Immelman not play in the Masters when he can? He won the thing.
He stinks
now.
He never plays. I think he has a podcast.
I know that, but I mean,
he has a podcast to do.
How could you not?
Thursday morning's a big podcast day.
You get the invitation in the mail, and you just say, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you got to be a complete imbecile to do that.
You do.
So Immelman said no.
He's not in the field.
He must really stink.
I mean, Gabe Brewer played till he was 80.
Yeah, Gabe Brewer showed up and said, where's my free sweater and his lunch at noon?
He had a walker.
And they finally had to put a letter out to guys like him going, well, I know many of you like to compete into your sunset years, but your 94 is a bit of a blemish on the leaderboards.
He is George Archer. You can find him under the oak tree.
Dave Brewer.
Yeah. Henrik Stenson
at 9 for lunch.
Stenson 250. Schwartzel past champ 250. Bernd Wiesberger 200-1. And a bunch of other guys who aren't going to win it.
Hey, Ronnie, is Faldo playing?
No, that's, I know. That's interesting.
He can't hit it out of his shadow.
So what?
Jose Maria's playing 1,500-1. Larry Mize, 2,500-1.
What's Mickelson
4,000-1. Yeah, oh, Mickelson. 100-1.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
I'd take $10 on that.
Does he have a chance?
Can I,
come on.
Can I book that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll pay you $10.
All right, and I owe you $1,000 if he wins.
Wait a second. Is this for real? Did you just
do that? I'm booking.
You're going to take the book.
I'm taking the 10. That's an easy 10.
This podcast has changed a lot.
I'll take that.
This podcast changed a lot.
This podcast sponsored by John and Zay Betting.
Okay. let's wrap in these 5 minutes. Ronnie, thank you for your time. John, I'm making your band practice late here because you've gone long.
They're good.
Any other thoughts on the Masters golf as it currently stands as we head towards this glorious weekend?
Well, I go think ahead, that, Ronnie.
No, let me go. Keith Olbermann deserves a punch in the nose.
Excellent.
And if I saw him, I think I'd do it for what he said about the Masters. And I don't need to go into this. I mean, I think we know. Zabe bothers Zabe so much, he's not saying anything, which have to be careful about, I think.
No, I lay out to let you have your space. I don't want to jump on you, but, yeah, Olbermann said boycott the Masters, and he tried to make a reference that it's a slave reference, the Masters. It's not.
It's
totally wrong. So wrong that Matthew Berry on ESPN tweeted at Olbermann saying, shut up, and then put a hashtag penthouse apartment, because Olbermann delivered this great populist, righteous, civil rights rant in his own mind, with the Manhattan skyline and Central Park in the background. Like, who the fuck are you, you fucking elitist fraud?
Just an absolute
And Matthew
prick.
Berry garbage canned him. It was great.
Go ahead, Ronnie, finish.
You know, I'm done. I just can't wait for it to start. It's the greatest day, and I mean, I cannot wait. It makes me feel, you know, I'm one of those people that I think about when I pass away, if I were to able to do my own eulogy and what I would say to all my family and friends that were there to honor me or whatever, I would say that these are the things I'm going to miss. And obviously it'd be, you know, my son and my wife in the Indy 500. And I think I would say the Masters.
Yeah.
Because
you'll still be able to watch it.
That's sacred and that special.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Well, and in all this controversy over race and politics and things like that, let's please not overshadow that Lee Elder is going to hit that first shot tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. or whatever with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player.
Yep.
Let's please put that on the front of the news rather than what we should boycott. Oh, we have no right to determine what we should boycott.
Sports should be uniting instead of dividing, and the leagues like MLB that just get fooled into thinking Twitter is real life, and they jump in with a divisive and stupid move like they did. Yeah. It's just one of the saddest things.
And who does it punish?
Well, it punishes the 50% black city of Atlanta and the many black-owned small businesses, and it takes it to 9% black Denver, Colorado.
Correct.
Good move, MLB. Good move.
It's a shame.
All right, we leave on this. This is one of the most pure sounds never ever. An eagle more. Nicklaus on 15.
How far do you think a 3 would go here?
Listen to this thing.
And I go, yeah, it's either that or a 4-iron. He goes, no, I'm talking about eagle.
And he's got a chance. He's got a very, very good chance.
By
again,
the way.
And that sense of inevitability, you know, his last look at the hole.
Faherty.
He saw the ball going in before he even hit it.
Yes, sir.
It's great.
The battle is joined.
The battle is joined. One of my favorite calls. As good as Vern Lundquist on 17 saying, yes, sir. I tell you, if you ever get the lucky chance to go to Augusta in the Masters, and forget lucky, just 1 year, save up some money, splurge for a secondary market badge. It'll rattle your fillings. It's so expensive, but it's so worth it if you're a golf fan. Make sure when you're on property, to walk across the crosswalk on 15 because you get to look right down at that green and all the patrons, and it will take your breath away.
Yeah. Walk across.
John Ronis.
They won't let you linger there. You got to keep moving, but you'll enjoy that walk.
What's up, Ronis?
John Ronis, quickly, what are you looking forward to the most about the Masters?
I love everything about it, Ronnie. I love every story. I love watching the old guys walk up 18, whether they're making the cut or missing the cut. I do love the par 3 contest, but I love the challenge of a major championship at the greatest place, I believe, in sports, and that's Augusta National. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. Unfortunately, I'll throw in that my high school team won the Dulles District Championships this past week.
Hey!
So thank you. So I will be preparing those guys for a Monday regional championship. But, Ronnie, I'm exactly with you. If I were to go blind, one of the biggest things that I would miss is watching the Masters. It is.
Yes.
It's heaven on earth.
It is.
Beautiful, boys. Amen to that. Ronnie, we'll talk again soon. Thank you for your time tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Ronnie.
Bye-bye.
I will end on this today. This story sets a absolutely dangerous and bad precedent. The New York City building staff that witnessed an elderly Asian woman get brutally kicked to the ground and beaten by a hulking, psychopathic black man have been fired because they have been deemed that they didn't do enough to help out during the attack. They stood and watched, in horror, no doubt. They then closed the door to the building and hid inside until the attack was over. Now, the attack only lasted about a minute, and I'm sure it was horrifying for the woman involved, who I think broke her hip. She is going to survive, be traumatized, obviously. But how can you fire staffers for quote-unquote not doing enough? They said, the staffers and their union said, look, They were treated inside. They called police. What more do you want? What more do you want them to do? And I guess the answer is go out there and try to be Johnny Hero and hope some hulking psychopathic guy who might be on crystal meth doesn't have a knife, a gun, brass knuckles, or just decides, oh, you want a piece of this, don't you? I think they did the right thing. I think anybody who says, oh, come on, you can at least go out there and try to distract him or yell at him. What is he, a fucking bear or something? You don't know what he's got. You don't know if it's going to be you. You're not obligated as a doorman to play Clark Kent in your spare time or even while on duty just because of a random attack. And yet, they've been fired. Of course, I guess the other residents in the building want to believe that whoever they get to replace them will secretly be these ass-kicking superheroes who also like to stand around at the door, make whatever it is they make per hour, doormen plus tips, and then save them the next time one of de Blasio's sociopaths who is living in a rent-free hotel room in Midtown decides to go crazy on a poor citizen of Gotham walking down the street. All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening. If this was pleasing to your ears, if it made you think, laugh, if it helped you pass the time driving or doing whatever, do tell somebody about it. Word of mouth is key. There's a gazillion podcasts out there, and I'm just trying to be the best little one that I can. So rate and review, help with the algorithm. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow will be the Friday edition. We will have first round Masters scores in the books. I know you're excited for me to read the Masters scores and give you thoughts on day one, but we'll have a good show on Friday. Jay Cottrell, our man, is scheduled to join us on the Friday podcast for this week. Subscribe as well by going to zabe.com/premium and joining the true one percenters who are subscribers to this very podcast. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy round one of the Masters, and we will see you next time. Like champagne and leather, like birds of a feather, we'll fly like rain on a sunny day, like $1 million.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little bit of something-something in the game. But regardless of why you play, you need a platform that makes it easy. At mybookie.ag, they do just that. Bet MLB regular season, NBA player props, every other major event, like the highly anticipated boxing match between MMA veteran Ben Askren and YouTuber Jake Paul. Place a single wager of $20 on the fight, and you'll get a free $20 bet for UFC 261. If that's not enticing enough, back the former Olympian's corner, and you'll get a 2-to-1 payout with MyBookie odds boost on Ben Askren to win the fight outright. Sign up this week with promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and take advantage of up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code ZABE to grab yourself a free cash bonus on top of the free bets and boosted odds. Ben Askren and Jake Paul, it's the fight that nobody asked for, but everyone can't stop talking about, and you don't want to miss out on it at MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.